You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. We're chicks and we love talking footy. Footy, footy, footy,
footy. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, the grand final show. I'm Breezy, your host. And joining me tonight are marvellous Motti and fabulous Fiona. Welcome to the show, chicks.
We are the Footy Avengers.
Good call, we are. Brilliant Breezer.
Oh, Brilliant Breezer. Yes, I was wondering what you'd give me. Brilliant well, Breezer, I like it.
Brilliant Breezer must be beside herself with bemusement about the grand final this week.
Well, I'm not sure if you know, but I am a huge Tiger supporter and we are through to the grand final.
You hadn't mentioned that all season. Why are you bringing it up this week?
And you're in the grand final. Wow, that's amazing, Brooke.
Yeah. Our third grand final in 4 years. So correct. I am very excited about it.
Just someone who's our team who's won 3 premierships, let me tell you, no one is cheering for your third premiership.
Look at you, Fee. Somehow managed to get the Hawthorn of won 3 premierships.
Excuse me, did I mention?
That only took 2 minutes.
I just have some advice about winning 3 premierships. No.
Well, what were you doing in 1984 and 1985? Thanks. On the last Saturday in September.
Oh God, we were on the bottom. We were pretty much on the bottom.
I'll tell you what you were doing. You were watching Essendon win the grand finals.
The last time. No, that's not true.
No, not quite the last time, but yeah.
2000
was the last time,
yes.
Well, we will reminisce about grand final throughout the show, but chicks, let's do our weekly check-in. How's your footy week been?
Good. Ooh. I've found it a bit exciting. My mind no, off. Yeah,
What are you talking about? We had this whole scheme going that we would go and have a picnic at the MCG on grand final morning, but we're from 5 different households, so we can't.
And 5 different corners of Melbourne, you're right.
Well, we've got a 25K radius now, so that would have fitted us all in. But bit depressed about grand final day in Melbourne, I think, you know, just to not be able to meet with more than one household. It's a bit of a lonely old Melbourne grand final day.
And it's not going to be great weather either. So it's not like you can go and meet your one friend and have a walk and a drink before the game starts or any of that. Like you can't sort of be outside. It's going to be like 15 and 16 and raining or something. Yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like picnic weather, does it? But that news actually made me cry. I'm happy to admit that. I had a really down day on Sunday. But then, Motti, then we found out we were going to interview Peggy, the president of the Richmond Football Club, and then I was happy again.
So we did chat to Peggy, yes, and that'll be later in the show, and she was terrific as always. She's such a good woman, isn't she? But I am still a bit I am excited. I know that's terrible news for us on Saturday and for everyone not being able to have barbecues, but I do find grand final week exciting. I like the Brownlow was on Sunday night. I like, you know, all the talk. I'm looking forward to Front Bars, grand final edition, you know. I get into it.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm sure we'll be excited on the day and I won't be able to come and jump on Breezer on the hallowed turf of the MCG like normal, but I'm sure we'll send some love your way somehow if you get through, Breezer.
Yes, I'm very nervous, but we'll talk about that later in the show. But let's talk about what's going to be on the show, chicks. So as we mentioned at the top, we caught up with Peggy O'Neill, the president of Richmond. We're going to have a good chat to our friend of the show and supercat, David Beckett. So it'll be interesting to hear his take on the grand final. We're also going to review the prelim finals, which there was one good one that was really close and then there was one that wasn't so close.
Rubbish one.
And then we'll look ahead, obviously, to the big game. So, and Motti's going to fire out some no-warning questions to to surprise us with our comebacks. So shall we get into it?
Sure, let's do it.
Excellent. All right, so before we review the games, let's just quickly recap some of the footy news that's been kicking about. Now, today there was some big news, Fiona, around the Premiership Cup.
There was. Our mate Ash Barty is going to be presenting the 2020 Premiership Cup to the winning team.
Well, she'll present it to Richmond.
If they win, yes,
of course. If they win. And
sorry,
then...
I might have just done a prediction.
Don't tell Dave.
Yeah, so do we think about, what do you think about a non-football person such as Ash Barty presenting the cup?
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think I have no problem with it.
Don't you?
No, not at all.
Do you not think anywhere in Queensland there is a former Richmond either player or even someone from the Queensland, you know, Richmond supporters group that probably could have done it?
But I don't think you need to be a former player to be viewed as worthy of presenting a Premiership Cup. I mean, Maureen Hafey presented our last one. Ash Barty is our number one ticket holder for our AFLW team. She's a lifelong Richmond supporter. She's number one tennis player in the world. I think, I couldn't think of anyone else that's
I think it's great for the game.
Better fit.
Well, yeah. maybe it changes the pattern, which is usually, I take what you say about Maureen Hafey. You obviously missed her in the 1952 team. She was forward pocket. She was a dynamite forward pocket. So you missed her there, obviously. She was a player. Maybe it changes things. I'm just a stickler for, you know, the traditions of things like that. Okay. I'm outvoted.
Yeah, we've got 2-1 there. But, I think Ash Barty's just going to be, she's going to raise the profile of the game by just being there, you know, and it's great having women presenting the cup as well.
Yes, I saw a great tweet that some Richmond supporters said, I hope she does get to present the Premiership Cup, and she's got the cup in one hand and a Carlton draft in the other.
She will have. Yeah. You watch me on Saturday or on next week's show. I'll just be espousing, if Richmond win, how amazing it was that Ash did it. So you can pull me up if I do that.
Now, chicks, we also had some sad news. I think it was last week, actually. That came through, that Jacinda Barclay, GWS AFLW player, had passed away.
Very, very sad. Yeah, and it was widely acknowledged, which I thought was really good, both throughout the female game and the male game, and there was a lot of people, making mention of it. And it's just sad.
I think Joel Salwood did a great, you know, honouring of her after the game on the weekend as well. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty classy. But, really sad news that I think rocked everybody last week.
It did. Yeah, it really did. Really, really did.
You never know what people are going through.
No, you don't.
Exactly. You don't. And speaking of not knowing what they're going through, we had some more sad news around Reece Shaw taking some extended leave away from football and unlikely to return to coach North Melbourne next year.
Yeah, that was sad. I guess this year the mental health has been certainly pushed to the edge for everybody. But particularly when you're in high pressure situations on top of that, who knows how it affects people.
I mean, I know nothing about the situation or his situation at all, but it's also a very brave thing to do to say I'm not coping. Or to let that become public. I don't know how it all, you know, played out, because it's such a masculine world generally. And, you know, and I love the fact that that's changing and it's okay for people to go, no, I'm not going well here. I need to step away. Hopefully he's okay, and that by doing that he improves.
Absolutely. We wish him all the best.
We do. And Moddy, your favourite time of season, some trade news.
Oh, is it not the best? It's the best. Like today being Tuesday, Jeremy Cameron finally sort of said he's quitting GWS and going and wants to go to Geelong. I mean, they're unbelievable, aren't they? How they can lure people in there, pay them less than they'd get at other clubs, and still succeed. Amazing. So much is going on though in that space. I can't wait for the week after the grand final.
I know, you'd think losing Gary Ablett at the end of the season would not be good for you, and then they pick up a player like Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, and Sean Higgins will be there as well from North. But I think Sean's already 33, so it's sort of, he really is the 2-year stopgap to fill in for Gazza, and there'll be more pop-up for sure. It does mean other people will get pushed out, so some of the younger players won't be able to play there anymore. So that's, there's swings around about.
Yep.
And a couple of Collingwood things too, isn't there, Breeza?
Yep. So we, Darcy Moore, they had some key re-signings. Darcy Moore and Josh Dacos re-signed. But there's an interesting situation around Adam Treloar that's still bubbling in the background to see what happens there.
I mean, he's one year into a 5-year deal. So that is unusual, or massively unusual, that he's being talked about as maybe not being there. And all the club needs to do is come out and go, no, that's not happening. Adam will be here, but they haven't.
No.
So it's interesting.
So, yeah, watch that space on that one. And then finally, we had the Brownlow medal on Sunday night, which Lachie Neale won in a canter.
Well, we all predicted that he'd win, but, yeah, it was a landslide.
I mean, his vote count was as good as in any year that has had a full season and he only played 18 games.
Mm.
So he's, very impressive. Did anyone watch it?
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I liked what they did. I thought that Channel 7 did a really good job of cutting from place to place and how they had the vision and different stuff. I thought they did it. It was really slick.
I think they did a good job in the circumstances, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. And the vote counting was a bit quicker this year, which I thought was good.
Well, it helps when you only got 17 rounds.
Right. Whip through them.
Exactly. All right, chicks. Well, let's take a break. And then when we come back from a break, we will start to review the prelim finals. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9, and I'm with Fiza and Motti. And chicks, we're about to have a look at the prelim finals. And it started back on Friday at Adelaide Oval with Port Adelaide versus my terrific Tigers. And wasn't it a classic match? Richmond won by 6 points in the end. But it was another classic prelim final, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. I'm going to ask this question of both of you. I'll start with you, Fee. Who did you think was going to win?
Before I knew it was raining, I thought Port would win. But I think where they kind of downplayed them.
Yeah, it did. I suppose it did. Bree? The distinction is between hope and really in your heart of hearts, who did you think?
So in my heart of hearts, I was more confident of beating Port Adelaide than what I was beating St Kilda.
Okay.
In my heart of hearts, yeah. Mm. So I thought we were good enough to beat Port, and I thought when the rain came, I thought that suited us better as well because we're a much better ground ball team.
And didn't the rain come? That was full on.
I don't enjoy watching footy when it's raining like that, I have to admit.
It does change the the complexity of the game.
I find it, they have to play differently, and I like how they do that. And there's a lot more kicking off the ground and kicking it forward, and they really do have to change their patterns, on the spot, I suppose.
I think what the wet weather did was, it added to the high intensity because it is more about pressure and ground ball and getting that territory game. And the crowd was electric, as it always is at Adelaide Oval. And also the weather made it close. So it took the scoreboard kind of out of the picture and made it close. So that's what I really enjoyed about the game. It felt like a prelim final to me.
Yeah, it was great. And like we have been saying you know, all along. It is weird to see crowd. You know, it's like we're in different countries. It's like we're watching different sports in different countries, and the Saturday night game at the Gabba was just ridiculous in terms of how packed and stuff it was.
Chicks, just some other talking points out of the game. It was Trent Cotchin's 250th, so that was great to see. Did you see Tom Lynch was targeted during and after the game with a Bundy and Coke thrown over him?
It was actually a little kid, I thought, that threw it over him. And his dad made him publicly apologise and said, "That's not how you lose, son," basically.
No, it wasn't the kid that did it.
No, the kid
saw it happen and the father said that, you know, that's bad form.
Here's an example of bad form.
Yeah, and as in that's not what you should do. And the little boy was upset about the game, but upset about that, and he wanted to go over to Tom Lynch and say, you know, good on you for winning, well done. That's what he did.
Right. And Tom said thank you so much for the support and...
Yeah, it was really sweet too.
Better luck next year or something, yeah.
With the crowd, you've said, so he was targeted during the game as well, was he, Lynch?
Oh, yeah. Did you see our mate Xavier Dersma go up to Lynch after he kicked a goal? And then Hamish Hartlett before the game was in the media saying there'd be a few people glad to see if Tom Lynch's season ended tonight. So, there was just a few lippy things that happened during the game. Anyway, Tigers have the last laugh and they've won through to their third grand final in 4 years. So I'm very pleased about it. I'm not sure anyone else is, but we'll take it and we'll move on.
Port have been so impressive this year, and it seems like they're really playing for Ken Hinckley, and, you know, there was a lot of love around that sort of player-coach relationship, wasn't there?
Yeah, and there was a sad ending for Brad Ebbett at the end of the game as well. He got concussed, I think, in the third or fourth quarter, and a lot of the players seemed to, you know, go up to him and honour him after the game. So it was... sad end to his career, that he was sort of so hazy at the end of it all.
It was. I mean, he's been wearing the helmet. He's had severe concussions that he just said is just not working in his life. So it was planned to either be his last or second last game. And then, but to show that bravery and to get knocked out, you know, just showed what kind of guy he is. Here's a little bit that he was chatting to Dwayne Russell. So have a listen here.
You've been one of those players that I think epitomises that Port Adelaide way of playing, and I think everybody saw that in that last act on the footy field when, despite repeat concussions, you still were prepared to put the health of yourself on the line for your team just to win a contest. And that's very much the essence of what footy people love to see. So I think it's an act that's going to be in the memory banks of a lot of people for forever.
Well, cheers, mate. Yeah, I guess it's one of those ones where, I just sort of saw the contest going and sort of thought, might as well sort of have to go to those sort of contests. And it's one of those ones where you can't really sort of see it the issue. And unfortunately, got concussed with it. And it is the way it is. But mate, I'm feeling all good now and healthy and feeling okay. You sort of still get those concussion symptoms from time to time. But I'm sure I'll be fine in the long run.
So you're 30 years of age, so you still had some footy left in you if you believed that your body and your brain was going to cope with it. Talk me through the process of deciding this was time.
Yeah, mate. Like you sort of said, I felt like I was still in some reason. You know, the knock on the weekend was probably just the icing on the cake, really, in terms of, making sure that my decision was definite and final. Because you sort of had the concussion I had a while ago, a couple of months ago. We sort of sat down and said, where are you at? What are we doing? And we decided then that, we'll give it one last chance, but if anything else happens, then, that's it. So that's sort of where the thought process is going. And that sort of happened on the weekend and sort of did it, like I said, sort of finished it there and then.
good, isn't it? I mean, he's an interesting guy. He said some good things. I imagine he'll do some. He wants to stay in footy, but he'll do some interesting things, I think. Post-footy.
Yeah, he's had a terrific career. Played for West Coast and then moved back home to Port Adelaide. So yeah, terrific career, and it was a terrifically brave act what he did, and he saved a goal and unfortunately got concussed in the last quarter. Now, Chick, should we move on to the Saturday night game, which was
Let's
at the Gabba, and between Brisbane and Geelong? And Geelong ran out convincing winners in the end, and really didn't look like being challenged. They beat Brisbane by 40 points in the end, and the Cats finally break their prelim hoodoo.
Yeah, I think they've lost the last four prelims they've been in. So they definitely have a hoodoo. But I have to say, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would have written Geelong off. They weren't playing good football, as far as I'm concerned. But the last two games they've played, they've just absolutely fired.
It's still, I think the kicking is still a bit of an issue. There's a lot of points kicked. 11-16, 82 versus 6-6, 42. I mean, Brisbane looked close at times in the first half, and they weren't, but Geelong's kicking was poor, so they've got to get that sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Geelong's inaccuracy kept them in the game, really, didn't it?
It kept Brisbane in the game. Yeah, you don't win grand finals by kicking badly.
But also, we were commenting in our little chat group about how much space was allowed in this game, and you just can't allow Geelong that much space. Geelong were able to control that game from the get-go, and Brisbane weren't able to get any momentum at any time in that game. So I think Richmond would look at that game and say that's not how you play Geelong.
Yeah, I think you're right. You play them the way that Richmond did whenever it was 5-6 weeks ago and thump them. That's probably what they'll be looking to do.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Brisbane just didn't have any fire in them either. Like, there was no sort of energy for winning. That
I know. That's come out in the press.
It was really strange.
That's come out in the press after the game. Like, did Brisbane actually want to win this game? They didn't look like they had the energy to actually take it up to Geelong to take this contest away from Geelong.
And you kind of wonder with that week off, a week off before and then the bye, it kind of loses the momentum of match fitness or something. I've always thought that's been a bit funny.
Yeah, I think you do. That for me, the momentum anyway, I don't like it. So Gary Ablett, amazing.
Oh, superb.
He does that little sort of rotate round the back of a stoppage. And he's like a sort of, he's a little terrier low to the ground. He's like on a lazy Susan, rotates round and then there he is and off he goes. I've heard different people say this week, like, you know, journos and stuff, that he's the best player they've seen. It's big.
Wow. Yeah, well, they're talking about him being, like, when he retires, being in the same conversation as the best all-time player along with Lee Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Spectacular.
He's a goat.
He's a goat. One thing is that Geelong still won with Dangerfield having a quiet night. So
yeah,
they've got that in reserve.
I think that's the improvement that's come from Geelong this year. They haven't really relied on a lot of their stars. In fact, Selwood's been out, missed a chunk of football, and Gary Ablett's been in the hub, you know, outside of the hub and missed a chunk of football. So their second-tier players have been able to stand up. So I think that's where the improvement has come from for Geelong.
Totally agree.
But they were convincingly beaten by Richmond only a few weeks ago, so they'll have to do something different.
So we say farewell, Port Adelaide. Farewell, Brisbane. Well played, though, both of them for the seasons.
Yep.
And only two teams remain, Brisbane.
That's only right. And we'll see what happens next week.
Exactly.
Enjoy your footy festival season, Queensland.
Yes. All right, chicks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to speak to the president of the Richmond Football Club, Peggy O'Neill. The Richmond Football Club won through to their third grand final in 4 years, and joining us in the build-up to Saturday night's decider is Richmond Football Club President Peggy O'Neill. Welcome to the show, Peggy.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, it's great to have you on the show again. So I feel like so much has happened since we last spoke, Peggy. Firstly, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm here in Melbourne, and I think I'm still reasonably sane and healthy.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Now, 2020 has been like a year like no other. Can you give our listeners some insight into the challenges and some of the difficult decisions that the club has had to make to lead us through such a difficult period?
Oh, you're right. It has been unexpected, just like so much of the world's had to deal with the outcomes of this virus and how to contain it and how to keep as much of regular life as possible at the same time protecting the health of others. And I guess when we had the season launch in March and I received the flag from 2019 Premiership, that I never thought I would have an opportunity a mere 10 days later, I wouldn't be able to unfurl the flag. We wouldn't be meeting at the MCG and we wouldn't have our season launch game against Carlton. Anyway, when I received the 2019 Premiership flag at the season launch, the AFL season launch in March, I never thought that I wouldn't have an opportunity 10 days later to unfurl it at the MCG. And so that was just the start of, oh, what's going to happen? And then after we played one game, looks like we're going to have to take a pause. And then we came back, and not only from that pause, but we weren't going to be playing in Melbourne anymore. We were all going to go up to Hubs. And then the other matter was staff and people standing down, people not being able to go to work, new protocols around workplace sanitation and hygiene and players. It just, everything that had been predictable was no longer the case. And so it's been a really tough year for a lot of people, and sport is no exception.
Sure isn't. You're right. Now, Peggy, you said you're in Melbourne,
Yes.
You were in Melbourne at the start of the year. So have you been there the whole time, or have you? Did you pop up to the hub at any point?
No, I didn't go to the hub. I have a lot of different jobs that I do, and Richmond's only one of them. It's sort of my volunteer job. So I just really needed to be with my home office. And, of course, when they initially went up to the hub, it was for 30 days. So I thought I would be seeing people again, and then as the situation worsened, the amount of time they were spending in the hub was extended until now. I haven't seen anyone since, I haven't seen the players and coaches since sometime back in March or early April, or when we renewed practice, I think, before we played those last games in Melbourne. So I didn't think it would end up that way, but it has, and so like a lot of Melburnians who follow the Tigers, I'll be watching from afar. Brendan Gale went up and then came back and did some work here that was needed at the club as we were trying to work out finances for next year and staffing and those sorts of things. And then 1st of September, he went back to the hub, and he's still there along with a great number of staff. And, of course, all the players and coaches and some of their families are there as well. So I'm holding down the fort here.
And, someone's got to, Peggy, haven't they?
That's right, and I miss everyone, but I, as you can see, they can win without me. I didn't have to come off the bench and play last weekend.
Now, Peggy, after a prelim final win like we had on Friday night, who's the first to give you a call? Is it Dusty? Is it Dimmer? Is it Brendan? Who's your favourite? Who's normally hopping on the phone first to give you a call?
Brendan usually calls immediately, and this time was really nice that he and the coach put me on speakerphone so that I could listen, and everybody would yell back at me, we won, and so that was really nice for them to include me that way. I can't say that Brendan was quite as eager to call after the qualifying final that we lost, but we had talked during the day and knew just how much this meant to everyone, and so it was great. And then so many football friends and who texted me immediately. I still haven't answered all of those. So it's wonderful to see how happy it makes people. And then in my street, a number of people got in their cars and drove around like they were coming from a game with the scarves out and the horns blaring and the the theme song playing very loudly all through Richmond. So that was kind of fun. It was as close as we could come to a real game atmosphere.
I think people will really take a different, you know, will have to take a different approach, but there will be that. Across the road, I can see it out my window here, is a Richmond flag at a house across the road, and next door their windows are covered with Geelong. So I'm expecting some sort of biffo, you know, in the street on Saturday night, whatever happens. Now, you mentioned Brendan and Damien before in your answer. Well, that begs the question, really, who's your favourite out of those two?
Oh, it's hard to pick. They're both wonderful people to get to work with. I work obviously more closely with Brendan because he's the CEO, and Damien I quite enjoy and enjoy his company. And one of the things we always scheduled were like quarterly lunch or breakfast catch ups, and haven't been able to do that this year. So sometimes I wonder about all those sort of casual connections you've developed with people over time, and having to sort of renew all of that once we can get back together again and everybody's back in Melbourne. So no, I don't think I'd pick a favorite, but I enjoy working with both of them, and I spend a lot of time with Brendan, and so I just know him better. And I knew him from before he was CEO, when he was the head of the AFL Players Association, and of course I knew who he was when he played, but I didn't know him. So it sort of goes back, and I was on the committee that hired him, so I feel that I know him a bit better.
Well, it's Brendan. I know you don't want to say it, but we're going to say it. It's Brendan. He's made what a massive success his life has been as a man, and probably a boy as well, you know, to what what he achieved as a player. And then, as you said, that, you know, did law and then the AFL players, and now, you know, helping you turn that whole club round. Amazing.
Yeah, he's quite a leader and always interested in leadership principles and believes, you know, about purpose-driven organizations being the ones that are most likely to succeed. And so he certainly has a unique ability to bring people along with him. So when he started out as CEO, I know he had a couple of sleepless years because, one, it was his first CEO job, and secondly, there was so much work to be done. So he has been tremendously successful and still tremendously thoughtful of others, and it's just, you know, it's a real highlight of my professional life to get to work with someone like Brendan.
Fun fact, I actually went to Monash Uni with Brendan when I was doing my arts degree. Brendan was doing his law degree. I'd see him and I'd be like, oh, there's Brendan Gale, our ruckman. Fun fact. Oh. Now, speaking of Brendan, Peggy, in 2010, Brendan announced a bold vision called Winning Together, and the objective of that was 3-0-75, so three final series, zero debt, and then 75,000 members. And also part of that plan was three premierships by 2020. Richmond are one win away from achieving that last piece of that bold plan. What would it mean to the club to achieve that plan on Saturday night?
Well, it would make us look like geniuses, wouldn't it? I must say we aren't there yet, and it's interesting that this has sort of been rescued from the archives after after all of this time, because we were so focused on the first 5 years, which was the 3-0-75. Because if we didn't get that right, you didn't need to worry about the next 5 years if we couldn't start to build that financial power that we needed, you know, reducing, eliminating debt, getting into finals, because that was 2010, and we hadn't played in finals in 9 years by that point. And I remember Damien Hardwick saying, you know, you have to get in finals, and then you start to win finals, and then, you know, you go on. So we really focused on the 3-0-75 those first 5 years, and thinking, I don't know that we ever thought about it too much after that, but things could sort of take care of themselves after that. If you stay the course and you keep just chipping away at those basic things you need to do. And we were short of the 75,000 members, but we had achieved the other things, playing in finals in 13, 14, and 15. We didn't win any, but we were in them. So I guess it would mean, it's one thing is I was a board member then, but I wasn't president. Gary March was the president. It's one thing for the board to say, well, this is a strategy and work with the CEO. And it's another thing for the fine people had to go make it happen. And that's where the real effort comes in, and just that determination. And we've had just some, and still have just some wonderful people who every day just kept their eye on the prize. And we also have as our purpose connecting to thrive and win. And that sense of purpose that we want everybody through connection to thrive. And that means as individuals and as an organization. And if you thrive, then the winning happens. So I must say it's just been a wonderful management effort and some people who have just gone way beyond the call of duty to get us to this point. And along the way, some, you know, it's not just admin side of things, some great players, some genius coach who has turned in some wonderful performances and a lot of patience. Things don't turn around very quickly. And we, I think, have a wonderful Tiger Army who got behind us all the way. And if they hadn't put in their money and said, we trust you and we believe you, it wouldn't have happened. And we still aren't there. So let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm speaking about the Tiger Army, Peggy. We've had great support again with the members essentially donating their money to the club this year.
Yes, that's right. And the gratitude cannot be highly expressed enough. The members, I think, know that what's happened is just one of those worldwide circumstances about not having sport. The fact that we're watching it on television and not in person here in Victoria really is, you know, not what we're used to. But I think we also might be thinking about what it's like if you are interstate or you're in regional or international, and we just have gotten so used to being able to see and the players love having big crowds. But it'll come back. We'll just see when that happens. Hopefully from the beginning of the season next year, but we'll have to see. But the Tiger Army, always dedicated and always behind us, and it's what makes Tigerland the place everybody wants to be.
Sure. Well, not everyone, Peggy and Bree, if you don't mind. So just one thing, do you think this has been an accidental test case this season for the AFL in that they're getting to have a night grand final without having to endure too much pushback from media and from the public?
I don't know. I doubt we would have a night grand final if this hadn't happened. But at the same time, the way that it falls, you know, it's Cox Plate Day. I think there are broadcast issues about that. I was looking in Brisbane on Saturday. It's 28 during the day. It's pretty hot. But 18 in the evening. So that might have something to do with it as well. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if night grand finals become the routine, but I think this is a chance to see what it's like in circumstances where it sort of suits the purpose as well for those other reasons.
And finally, Peggy, what's your overriding emotion given that the club has gone through to its fourth grand final, and how will you spend the day/evening watching it?
Well, I'm overjoyed. I'm delighted. A bit emotional that there you are. Just happy that so many people who worked so hard to get us here gets a chance at another premiership. How will I spend the day? It's a long day now, isn't it, until the game comes along? So I don't know. I guess I'll do the usual Saturday things you do and try not to think about it in a few hours, and another hour passes. And I guess I was hoping that we would be able at least to gather in small groups and watch it, but that's not going to be the case. So I'll do like everybody else, watch it on television and have a drink or two and hopefully be singing the song at the end of the night.
Well, yeah, that just sounds delightful. I'm hoping that's how it pans out as well, Peggy. So thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, enjoy the day. I plan to enjoy the day/evening as well. And go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Thanks, Peggy. Good luck to you both.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome back to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Breezy, your host, and on tonight's show, we've got Fiona, fabulous Fiona, and marvellous Motti. And I'd also like to welcome to this segment, which we are previewing the grand final, our lovely friend of the show and big Cats fan, David Beckett. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Dave.
What about Delicious Dave?
Delicious Dave.
Have you ever been called Delicious Dave before?
Not always. Not between 9 and 5.
Well, you do have a delicious ISO beard, Dave.
Thanks, Fee. That goes with the COVID kilos as well.
I think he's. Are you channeling Chris Scott? Are you David Beckett?
Yeah, I should be actually. Ah. The skin that he's wearing at the moment.
He's very Trumpy, isn't he?
Got a bit of fake tan.
Do you reckon it's fake? I don't know if it's fake. I think he's just been in the sun.
He could just be sitting by the pool every day.
I think he does need to dye his beard, don't you think, Dave? It's got a bit grey.
No, I think there's plenty of people out there that love the silver fox look. So.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Beck Dahl would be all over that man.
If only she could hear what we're saying.
If only.
All right. So, Dave, we've brought you in because, not sure if you know, but Richmond are through to the grand final and they will play your Geelong Cats. And to me, it's the dream matchup. We couldn't have scripted this any better. It's two Victorian teams playing the grand final in Brisbane.
Yeah, it is very strange. I think the Cats have really likened to playing in Brisbane this year. We're known to be a little bit older than other teams, so I think the older players have really loved the sunshine and getting away from the cold months and feeling those bones and muscles moving again, I guess.
Getting rid of the arthritis?
Yeah, I think so.
Speaking of older players, do you reckon, I mean, we know Gazza's finishing and that's just going to be, well, it's going to be an incredible send-off, whether he wins or loses, hopefully wins. Do you think Harry Taylor will also retire?
I think Harry Taylor's a bit of a strange one. I think he does have another year of football left in him, but I just don't know if it's at the level that he's probably comfortable playing with. I think it'll come down to the AFL list sizes, what they decide there and how that list looks. If it's a really small list, they might take him on for another year, I think.
Well, maybe, and then he just plays plays two games and has one off, or he doesn't travel on the trip to Perth or something like that.
Yeah, and people criticise him because he always looks slow. He's always looked slow for his whole career. He's got a weird gait the way he walks. Mm. He's always limped. But he's had an extraordinary year, like statistically wise, for the players he's played on. He hasn't conceded that many goals.
No, and he beat Hipwood on last week, and Hipwood's, 10 years younger than him, more?
Yeah. Anyway, he's got the opportunity. He'll probably go to Tom Lynch on Saturday. That would probably be his direct opponent, but I guess it takes quite a few players to stop Tom Lynch.
Now, Dave, there's a lot of romance around this game for the Cats. Dangerfield's first ever grand final. How do you think Danger's feeling?
I think he's a lot of relief, I think, from last week's result. I think it was his fifth prelim, was it, on the weekend? Dangerfield has always been the centre of every show. He was the centre of the show at Adelaide. He's the centre of the show at Geelong. I think he's been let down by some of his teammates in the past that are not as good as him. So I think he's very, very happy to be on the big stage this week.
Yeah. Now, I need to talk to you about Cam Guthrie's hair.
Where do you start? I've nicknamed him the homeless man this year.
It's just, I mean, he's going to be photographed in the grand final papers with that hair.
It's
not even ISO. Before ISO that he had that hair.
Lucky he's a good player.
Lucky.
Yeah, I liked it because I like players who distinctly look different. So it's very easy to know who it is straight away. So, and he's one that's clearly, as soon as he gets to the footy, you know it's Cam Guthrie. So I like it.
So you're making it easy for the commentators, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Now, Dave, this game isn't being played in Geelong and it's not being played at the MCG. So Geelong can't complain that Richmond has home ground advantage this year at all. I actually think Geelong's got the home ground advantage playing the Gabba. I don't think they've lost at the Gabba this year, have they?
They haven't. I think they're 6-0, I think.
Wow.
At the Gabba. Yeah. Now, Bree, we're not complainers at Geelong. You know, we just want a bit of fairness and get that home final that we've been wanting for years and years.
Oh no, you're not complainers, not at all, Dave. I'm waiting for Chris Scott to give us another drive-by. What's it going to be this week?
He's here, Bray.
I don't know. He said Richmond were the best team in the league and have been for a long time after the Cats lost to Richmond a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think there's a comment from him. Was it Breed maybe 12 months ago or 18 months ago that he said that Richmond's not as good as some of the other teams from other eras?
It was in February this year, Dave. It was in pre-season.
Long year, Breed. It's
yeah,
awkward.
So, awkward. So, very scathing in terms of Richmond weren't quite in the same conversation as the dynasties of Hawthorn or Geelong or even St Kilda or Collingwood for that matter. So, anyway, we'll see about that come Saturday evening. All right, now, Moddy, I think you've got some questions to fire at Dave and I.
Dave may not be familiar. This is one of the most popular segments on Chicks Talking Footy. We get a lot of letters.
Yeah. Social media goes viral.
Yeah,
it does. It's
one of my favourite segments of all time.
Well, no warning.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I write questions that you guys don't know are coming, and then you answer them. I mean, it's fascinating,
isn't it?
It's like
you get no warning about them.
I know. I mean, even the name is incredible.
Is this a radio first, Moddy?
No. Beck knows where this came from. It came because the thing I hate the most is question without notice. I'm like, yeah, you're on radio. That's what happens. People talk, so stop saying question without notice. Anyway, here we go. Question one. Who is the most important player to Richmond? Breezy, you can answer first, then you, Dave, out of these three. Marlon Pickett, Nathan Broad, Jack Graham.
Oh, I'm going to go Jack Graham. Jack Graham has been, he was dropped earlier in the year. He fought his way back into the side. He's kind of like a barometer for Richmond. If he dials up the pressure, then we know that we're on. He puts a lot of pressure around the ball, so I think he might go to Selwood or even Cam Guthrie's. Yeah, he's a good pressure and ball player, inside mid-type player, so I'm going Jack Graham.
I'm going to agree with Bree there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can say I couldn't give a toss, but about the opposition, if you fine.
That'll be my response.
I don't know. Bree might be able to answer this one, but is Marlon Pickett going to keep his spot in the team for the grand final?
Yeah, he will. Richmond liked their wingers combo with McIntosh and Pickett. So, yeah, I think Pickett stays in. I don't think Richmond will make any changes.
Okay, same question. Who's most important to Geelong? Grian Myers, Jed Bewes, or Lockie Henderson?
I'll jump in first. I've been a huge fan of him in the last 10 weeks. I'm going to say Lockie Henderson. He was absolutely cooked. He actually played full forward against Richmond in last year's prelim because we had no Tomahawk due to suspension. But cut by the Cats, got back in this list somehow, and he has been absolutely brilliant. He's been composed, a great leader down back. So I'd love for him to have a big day on Saturday.
Great.
Would this be his first premiership, Dave?
Well, he's come from Carlton. So
that's true.
Unless he was playing in the 80s.
He was somewhere before Carlton.
Yeah, Brisbane. His third club. Brisbane.
Brisbane.
I think this is definitely his first grand final.
All right, next question. If you were going to the grand final, who would you least like to sit next to? Anastasia Palaszczuk, Mick Malthouse, or Brendan Favola?
Wow. I think who the least I would like to sit
next
to? I think Mick Malthouse.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Far too boring. I think Fev will get on the beers, so I'll be up for that. Yeah. Anastasia Palaszczuk, well, I think we've got to give credit where she's due. She saved the AFL season.
I would sit next to her and say, can you open up your bloody borders? I want to see my parents-in-law. Thanks.
Okay, so Breeza?
Yeah, I'm going for Vola just because I want to get on the beers. especially if Richmond's in front, it'll just help settle my nerves. I need to be next to Favola.
Favola. All right. Now, as always, we get down to catering. So your choices are pie, hot dog, or hot chips.
Hot dog. I'll go first. Yeah, hot dog for me. Yep.
I'll go pie. for me.
Feezer?
No, hot dog. Love a hot dog.
Will that be your catering at home on Saturday night watching the game?
Oh, yep. God, I don't know. Yep. I can't even think about watching alone at home on Saturday night.
I've already got the Frankfurts. Petra's already bought the Frankfurts, Moddy.
Oh, my God. Brie, can we meet in your radius somewhere and congratulate you? And
Claire's making party pies, homemade party pies for me.
I can't believe you get catering from Claire when you watch a footy.
Well, I chose wisely, didn't I? Okay, so last question. Which will you be wearing? This is not really you, Fee, but you can answer if you like. Socks? Of your team, obviously. Socks, jumper, scarf.
I've got – can we – just the one?
No, you can. It can be all.
I think I've got a pair of socks and I've got a scarf, so that's what I'll be wearing.
Muddy, I'm very superstitious, so I've got a lucky scarf that I always wear. And a lucky hoodie that I always wear. So always in big games, that's my go-to.
Jocks? What about jocks, you two? Will you be wearing Richmond Geelong jocks?
I don't have any Cats jocks, no.
No, I don't have
any. You've got days left to go shopping, Dave.
I'm going to put that down to things I never want to know.
But, Moddy, just in line further with my superstitions, I never wear colours. Jocks with colours of the opposition team. So I've already worn all of my blue and white jocks this week. So there won't be any in my undie drawer come Saturday to choose from.
Oh, my God, that's good. That is very good. Well, we're just about out of time, which leaves only one question, and that is who's going to win on Saturday night? Well,
the Tigers are a great team, but I'm backing in the Cats. Cats by 4 points with an Ablett goal after the siren.
Stunning. That would be a great dream, wouldn't it? Feezer, what do you reckon?
I would have to say I'd favour Richmond to win, but I don't like either team, so I don't care.
I am always like this. I go, there's a team I think is going to win, there's a team I want to win. So I think Richmond's going to win, I want Geelong to win.
Yeah, I can't say those words. I'm the Hawthorn supporter. Saying I want Geelong to win a grand final is like...
So, Breeza, over to you, my friend. Who do you think?
Oh, well, in my heart of hearts, I think Richmond's good enough to win. So, yeah.
So it's
I think the Tigers.
Look, I'm just hoping for a really good grand final game. I'll be happy with that.
Awesome. Okay, chicks, I think that's the end of our show. But... before we leave you this week, we just wanted to let you know next week will be our final show for the season for 2020. But don't fear, you can stay connected with us on all of our social platforms over summer. So stay connected with us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you next week. Go Tigers!
Go Cats!
Go Grand Final!
Joy 94.9 is Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station. To support Joy, donate, subscribe, become a member. Head to joy.org.au for more.